be ready for the message from God's Word this day. If I had my way about it, I'd say let's vote them in right now. I've done about all I could to convince them this is where they need to be, but until God does that, then they won't move. Amen. That's the way it should be. Amen. And it's not about my will, but thine be done. And so God bless you. They'll be singing, God willing, again for us tonight. And our choir will be singing with them, helping them on five or six of their hit songs. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm looking forward to that. And I know the singing, the songs. God uses the songs to prepare a heart for the seed of His Word to be planted. And singing taps our emotions. It tenders our hearts, and it should. And anytime we lift up the Lord, it should turn our attention to the Lord. And that's what this theme is all about, looking unto Jesus, which just simply means turning away from all others and all else and looking only to the one that can fill the heart. Thank the Lord for that. Let's look at Mark chapter 5 today and get right into the message this morning. I really believe the Lord wanted to bring this thought here today, and I pray that it be a blessing and be a help to all of us. In Mark chapter 5, I want to read two verses here, verses 15 and 16, and then we'll go back and look at the rest of the story here of the maniac of Gadara and what God has to say here out of Mark chapter 5, verse 15. The Bible says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." I want you to mark this expression that I found in the Word of God, or that we all find here in the Word of God, the expression "also concerning the swine." I want you to mark that expression. And I want to preach a message this morning with God's help on that thought concerning the swine. Concerning the swine. We all know what swine are. Swine are just simply old, dirty, nasty hogs, amen, that makes that good sausage and bacon and country ham and barbecue. Come on now. It's sad when you think something so nasty and sloppy and dirty can taste so good, amen, and be so bad for you, you know. But anyway, I want you to look at this here concerning the swine. There was some concern here, as the Bible mentions here, concerning these herd of swine. Back in the Gospel of Luke, the Bible even mentions there were about 2,000 of them. So we have a number of these swine here. It's not just a couple or 100 or whatever it may be, but the Bible gives a number basically somewhere about, well, it says it here in the Gospel of Mark, verse 13. It says that there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. In other words, they ran violently down the hill after Jesus had commanded and cast that demon named Legion. By the way, the name Legion means 6,000. So this one individual must have had at least 6,000 devils, demons, living in his body. And the Bible says Jesus commanded them to come out of this one man, and they suggested that they go into the swine. Jesus allows that to take place, and the hogs, they ran violently down the hill, the Bible says, and jumped into the sea and choked themselves. Dr. Percy Ray said we had 2,000 dead hogs and no hot water. So here you have a litter of dead hogs floating in this body of water, which is about 6 miles across, because these disciples had just come out of a storm that was in that body of water. But I want you to see, and a thought here today that I want to give you from God's Word, that it may cost us something for someone, number one, to get saved. It cost these people 2,000 hogs in order for this one man to be saved. It may cost us something, and number two, to see someone set free from an addiction. No doubt this man, the Bible says, no man could tame him. They would put chains on him. They'd put fetters on his hands and his feet, shackles, and he would break them under the power of the devil. And he was unclothed, out of his mind, living among the dead, living in the tomb, the cemetery, the graveyard is where this man lived, on the hillside. Can you imagine
when this man in the middle of the night would have let out one of those hair-curling screams like a wild man coming down through the hollow, the valley of that community. Can you imagine the fear that it brought upon people's heart? Because they knew that there was a wild man up there. Something's got a hold of him. He's unclothed. He's a long, hairy, matted type man. We tried to tame him. We tried to teach him. We tried to educate him. We tried to clean him up. We tried to shackle him and bind him, but it was to no avail. We could not fix his life. We could not change his life. We couldn't help him. May I say this morning that it may cost us something in 2013 to see someone saved. It may cost us something to see someone set free from an addiction. It may cost us something, number three, to see someone wholeheartedly serving God, surrendered fully to Him. Listen, Mom and Dad, it may cost you something to see your children serve God. It may cost me something as a father, even as a grandfather now, to see that my granddaughter and even my children serve God. Listen, it's going to cost us something. Nothing in this world comes free other than the grace of God and salvation. It's going to cost you something. And here these people, the Bible says, mentions for us here, also concerning the swine. Oh, by the way, this man got saved. This man got set free. But I want you to know, it cost us, is what it's saying here. It cost us 2,000 dead hogs is what it cost us. And the people got angry. They got upset. Not at the guy keeping the hogs, tending the hogs, but they got upset not at the man that was saved and set free, but they got mad at Jesus. Look at it, please. Look at the next verse down, verse 17. And they began to pray. It's amazing. Probably the first time they've prayed in a long time. They began to pray him to do what? To depart out of their coast. Think of that. Oh, you would think that Jesus being so close and doing such a powerful thing, come to my house. Come to my house. I've got troubles down here and I've got heartaches down here. Come to my house. No, that was not their attitude. That was not their response. Come down here on the street corner. We've got drugs and prostitution and alcohol, liquor running in the roads. So listen, come down and clean our town up. Was that their attitude? No. They said, Jesus, why don't you just take a hike? We surely don't appreciate it costing us 2,000 dead hogs just to see one man saved. That's their attitude. You know what? That's a lot of attitudes we find in the local church today. It's going to cost us something. Yes, it's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost us some effort. It's going to cost us some sweat and tears and maybe a little sunburn. It's going to cost us something. A wear and tear on our shoes, wear and tear on our garments. Listen, it's going to cost us something. Maybe we're going to have to give up some things, cut some things short and do some things differently, rearrange our schedules. But it's going to cost us something to see God do great things in our midst. It's going to cost us something. And here Jesus passed by, and here this demon man came out and met him. And Jesus, listen, asked the demon his name. And he said, my name is Legion, which means 6,000. And Jesus gave him a command to come out of this man. And they did, and they suggested they go into the herd of swine. And there they ran down and choked themselves. And the townspeople get angry at Jesus. Now understand this. Life can be easy for some. No demands, no responsibilities, and no commitments. They're just footloose and fancy free. Just like drifting through the sea of time. And anything that floats by their way, they grab hold of it. And they think, man, I've got something good now. But what they don't understand is they grab the shark's fin, dorsal fin, and they're about to go for a ride. And understand this here. Look here, please. Go with me to, let's look at Matthew 5 there. And verse 16, and they saw it and told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. Man, that's great news. Listen, you remember that guy we couldn't do anything with? That old hard-hearted sinner, that old hard-hearted, hard-headed man that lived up in the tombs, that cried all the time, that was unclothed. And we tried to teach him, we tried to tame him, we tried to train him, we tried to educate him, tried to do all we could for him. You remember that guy? Well, I want you to know he got saved today. He got delivered today. But let me also tell you concerning the swine. It came with a price. It cost us 2,000 hogs. What? 2,000 hogs for that old wild man?
Yes, 2,000 hogs. Matter of fact, they're down there floating in the sea now. There they go. Some of them's already washed on shore. 2,000 dead hogs and no hot water. Cost them something. And look with it. Go back to Luke right quick. Look at Luke's account. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I wish I had time to read the whole story and just let it soak in, sink into our heads here. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Notice with me here in verse 37. Luke chapter 8, 37. The Bible says here Jesus in verse 35, this man is sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 36, and they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about, look at this, besought him, begged him, besought him to do what? To depart from them. For they were taken with great fear, and he went up into a ship and returned back again. Think of that. The very God-man. They said, get out of here. We don't want this kind around here. We don't want it to cost us anything. You see, churches are filled with people. They understand the time we live in. They're filled with people that are not committed. They're not committed to the ministry. They're not committed to the marriage. They're not committed to the master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not committed to nothing. Listen, they have no responsibility. They take no responsibility. They take no accountability for their actions. They're always living a blame game, you know. It's always someone else's fault why they end up the way they end up or where they've ended up. Listen, and they take no demands. Nobody's going to demand me to do anything. I'm free. I'm going to live like I want to. And we frustrate the grace of God. And here we find that Jesus has done a marvelous miracle that these people could not do in and of themselves. And their reaction was, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Leave us alone. Churches are filled with people just like that. They don't want God. They don't want God's Word. They don't want Bible preaching. They don't want Christ's honor and singing. They don't want standards in dress, standards in living. Listen, they don't want standards in their life. Listen, they just want to live footloose and fancy free. But I want you to know, if we're going to have anything for God, if we're going to have anything of any quality, understand this. We're going to have to dig deep and work hard. And understand, it's going to cost us something. Look at three things quickly. Let me give it to you right quick. Number one, these people here, they did not like the fact, number one, you'll think about this, that Jesus disrupted their lives. When's the last time God disrupted your life? Did you like that? Did you like that? Here, Jesus disrupted their life. Look, they're doing okay. They've got a herd of swine out here minding their own business. No doubt they're minding their own business as well back in the town. And they're doing okay. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, this man of God, the God-man, the great Savior of the world. And he sets a man free. He fixes a man's heart. He changes a man's life that they couldn't do. And they solve a problem that they had, but they couldn't solve it. But Jesus did. But it cost them. It disrupted their lives. And they come to the very one that helped them and did for this man what these people could not do, solved the problem they couldn't solve, fixed an issue they couldn't fix. But when they came to Jesus, they said, listen, get out of here. Depart from here. I'm heading somewhere. Now listen to this. Jesus disrupted their life. Listen, we can do okay as long as this man didn't bother them. As long as this guy, listen to me. As long as he stayed in the mountain, out of sight, out of mind, no talky, no touchy. As long as he stayed out of our sight, he was out of our mind. As long as we didn't touch him or talk to him, we were doing all right. We had a pretty good business going on. Just as long as that old dirty, rotten thing stayed up in the mountains. But Jesus disrupted not only that man's life, but their lives as well. It's going to cost us something. And also concerning the swine. I remember hearing the story Dr. Ron Beatty gave in a message I heard him preach about. He said, and from the lady's own lips, her own testimony, she said, I was a part of the church back many, many years ago when they were shipping Jews by freight train to the concentration camps. And said, right behind our church, this lady's testifying this, now listen, said right behind our church was a train track. And said,
we'd get up there, we'd sing, we'd be singing. All of a sudden, we'd hear the train whistle. And we'd hear those going down the train track. All these boxcars. She said, I was a little girl, and I went back, and I looked out the window there, and I saw all these cattle carts that were designed to carry cattle. They were carrying people. She said they had just a look on their faces of desperation and despair, hopelessness. We'd hear that train go by, a whole train load of people going to concentration camps. And here we find, and she said, you know what? It happened week after week after week. She said, pretty soon, we didn't hear them any longer. She said, the reason we didn't hear them any longer is because the more we heard them, the louder we turned our music up. We turned our music up so loud so they would not disturb while we're having service, while we're worshiping God. Don't want to do that. Don't want to disturb our worship. You know, hear people passing the church in cattle carts, going to a consecration camp and going to be beaten and even put to death. And they turn their music up. They turn the preaching up. They dare not have anything disrupt their lives. That's where we are. That's where we are. Drown it all out. Turn it up. Drown them out. Drown the cry of Egypt out. We don't want to hear about sinners going to hell. We don't want to hear about the lost dying without God. We don't want to hear about it. Let's turn it up. Don't disrupt our worship while we're having a good time. People are on their way to hell right now concerning the swine. It cost them something to get one man saved. It cost them 2,000 dead hogs. Here these doing okay, just as long as that old man up there didn't bother them. Out of sight, out of mind, think of that. Number two, I want you to write this down. Not only did Jesus disrupt their lives, but Jesus, secondly, disturbed their living. He disturbed their living. I'm sure they could have got some money for those swine, no doubt about it. Hogs are going about 6 to 8 cents a pound right now in the market, 2013. That's a pretty good price, 6 to 8 cents a pound. You're going to go buy a hog for what you're going to pay. But I want you to see, they could have made some money, but Jesus disturbed their living. They couldn't help him, this maniac of Gadara. They didn't want to help him, but they were all right with Jesus helping him. They were all right in some measure with Jesus fixing their problem. Here's their thought here. Look at me. Listen to me. Fix our problems, yes, God, but save our pigs. Lord, we don't mind you healing and saving our babies, just don't ask anything in return. Lord, we don't mind you wanting to send revival to Heritage Baptist Church, just don't ask us to do anything about it. Lord, we don't mind you doing all these great things for my family, for our church, for me personally, but just don't ask anything in return. That's what the message here is. Save, fix my problems, but save my pigs. Illustrate this. Years ago, my wife and I think Charity was born at that time. We were living in Kannapolis. Me and Lisa were praying about a specific amount that we needed to take care of some bills. Everybody has bills. Yeah, I got a bill. Everybody got a bill? Good. There's a bill sitting back here. Amen. We got a bill. Amen. But we had issues, and I was asking God for $600. Specific prayer. God, please, Lord, you know we need $600. We pray and agonize, you know, like we do. You know, God, this, and Lord, we know you can. We know all this. And we're praying, we're praying, we're praying. Well, one Saturday morning, what in the world could that be? Go to the front door, open the front door. Man standing there, never seen before, honest before the Lord. He said, that boat you got in the backyard, is that for sale? I said, that boat? I said, no, it's not for sale. My father-in-law just gave it to me a couple of weeks ago. And he said, I could have it. It's got a trailer and everything. And all I have to do is repair the floor in it. That's what I'm doing now. It's not for sale. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, I'm sure. He said, I'll give you $600 for it. I said, listen to me. It's not for sale. Thank you, sir. Well, thank you. Appreciate you coming by. Close the door.
And I walked back and walked away like the Lord just popped me upside the head and said, there it was, buddy. There's just $600 you've been praying for. But what you wanted me to bless you, but you want to hang on to your toys. In other words, you want me to fix your problem, but you want to save your pigs. In other words, you don't want it to cost you anything. You understand what I'm saying? God taught that lesson to me that day. God said, here you've been agonizing, you've been praying, and all along you had it sitting in your backyard. And I even sent a stranger by that didn't know you and you didn't know him. He even walked up and knocked on your door. And when you said it's not for sale, he even offered you a price for it. $600. And you still hard-headed enough to say it's not for sale. We're still praying. We're still praying. We're struggling. We're still praying. But no, the boat's not for sale. You know what happened to that boat? I don't know. I never used it. Never got it fixed. I don't even know to this very day, honest before, don't know where it's at, what happened to it after that day. God said, I sent your money by, I sent your answer by, but you wanted me to fix your problem, but you wanted to save your pigs too. That's exactly what the story is here. That's why they got mad at God, because it cost them something. As long as it doesn't cost us anything, well, we'll take it. Like one old man said, if it's free, it's me. If you say, sir, it's a dollar, I'm like, pay no dollar for no cup of coffee. And listen, if it doesn't cost us any pain, if it doesn't cost us any sacrifice, if it doesn't cost us any heartache, we're all in, preacher. You can count on us. Just don't let it cost me anything. Listen, your home's going to end in a wreck, a ruin one day if you're not careful, because you're not willing to pay the price. And if you're going to listen to the music, you've got to pay the piper every now and then. And understand, Jesus not only disrupted their lives, but he disturbed their living. So it cost them a few pigs. What was that in comparison to one man being set free and saved and delivered? Can you imagine what that maniac of Gadara's family thought and felt when he came home for the first time in a long time? Sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed in his right mind, he goes back home. That's what Jesus said. He said, go to your friends. Go home there in verse 19 of Luke or Mark 5. Go to the home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Yet this other crowd's all bent out of shape. They're mad at Jesus. Said, listen, best thing you can do is just leave us alone. Leave us alone. Jesus not only disrupted their lives, he disturbed their living. But number three, Jesus delivered the lost man. His condition, possessed by legion, the 6,000 demons. His chains, not only were physical chains, but spiritual chains. Chains that had him bound both inside and out. His life was literally out of control. Look back in Luke 8 right quick. Look at Luke 8, the story, the account of Luke 8. He said in verse 27, and he went forth to the land. There met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house. Not your house, my house, or even God's house. That's the condition. This guy's life was out of control. Nobody could tame him. Even the Bible declares that. Says in verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man for all the time that had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Back in Mark chapter 5, the Bible even mentions there in Mark 5, where verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, and no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. But when Jesus set him free, the whole town got mad at him. What's our attitude this morning about God working in people's lives? Would our attitude be like their attitude? We have no time for God. We have no treasures to give. We rob God and His tithe, but when I'm in trouble, we would say, He better come help me. Can I look here? What is this here? Terry, what's that? It's a box. Can I say this morning, listen, you can't put God in a box and live like you want to live. You can't put God in the box and say, all right, look, God, here you are. I'm going to put you over here on the shelf now, right here. You stay right here, and I'll come back on Sunday and get you, okay? But I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it outside here. And if I get in trouble out here, I'll call you, but you better come help me. If I run into a problem that I can't fix on my own, I'm going to come over here and I'm going to take you out of this box, Lord, because really, I want you to fix my problems and I'm going to put you right back, but I do want to keep my pigs. I surely don't want it to cost me anything. You know what? I find out that I preach to people, and other preachers have said this, that preach to people have no idea, earthly idea of what you're saying. Goes over right over their head. Goes in one ear and out the other. I was going to mention today that you ought to get a copy of that message I preached Wednesday night. But I've mentioned that several times, and nobody's ever followed through with those things. I've often wondered about that. I wonder, do they not hear me? Do they not understand me? Or do they just not care? You've got to understand, God has put me in your life to watch out for your soul and your spiritual well-being. And I remember as a young Christian when our pastor said, listen, you ought to get a copy of this and listen to that. I got a copy of it and listened to it. Because I knew that he was preaching that or saying that God had given him something that could be a help to me. I preached on Wednesday night for those that did not hear that out of Psalm 107. When's the last time God had a force of prayer out of you? That's what it was all about. When God sends trouble in our life, to force a prayer out of us because we're not praying prior to the trouble. But God has to send a trouble, a storm in our life to force a prayer out of us. But I said Wednesday night that God, thank God, He's more in tune with me than I am with Him. Because when you read Psalm 107, listen, it took a long time for them to pray. But when they did pray, God responded immediately. God heard their cry. And a lot of us today, if we're not careful, God will have to force us to pray. We can't put God in a box and take Him out when we need Him. We can't look at God and say, Lord, I'm in trouble. Fix my problem. But as long as it doesn't cost me anything. That's where these people are right here. They couldn't tame Him. They couldn't fix the man. They couldn't help Him. He was giving them heartache, heart, all my. Couldn't do one thing for them. But when Jesus came and done something for them, they said, that's good. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how about leaving? You disrupted my life. You disturbed my living. You delivered the lost man, the lunatic. May it be in our hearts today concerning sinners instead of concerning the swine. May we be more concerned with the sinner as Jesus was and less concerned for the swine. That was part of the report. Let me tell you. Here's what God did. Saved a man, but we lost some swine. Let me tell you concerning the sinner, but also concerning the swine. Let me ask you this morning, which one are you and I more concerned about today? The swine represents our living, represents our life, our lifestyle, our conduct. Or are we more concerned with sinners? Here, Jesus was concerned for the sinner, and the whole town was concerned for the swine. Let me ask you this morning, encourage you and I to yield our life to the Lord. From time to time, God will disturb our lives. From time to time, God will disrupt our lives. May I say this morning, and listen, when God does that, don't become bitter. Don't become blind to the fact that God knows what's best. You ever broke an arm? Anybody broke an arm? Raise your hand. I broke mine several times. I'll testify it. Anybody broke a leg? Why did God allow that leg or that arm to be broken? If it's going to heal back, you wear that cast, what, 6, 7, 8 weeks maybe? That doctor says, that thing's looking good. It looks like it's healing back good. Well, if it's going to heal back right, then why in the world was it broken in the first place? Why did God allow it to be broken in the first place? Because it could be in that time of breaking that God wanted to speak to you. That God had to slow you down to put you in a position so He could talk with you. And here God wanted to talk to the whole town. and allowed some nut, some demon-possessed guy to live there. God wanted to help the whole town, but they said, we don't want your help. We're glad he's helped, but we sure hate that it cost us anything. And here this morning, concerning the swine, let me close with this thought here. There is no painless way to serve the Lord. It's going to cost you and I something. It's going to cost us something. We need to search our hearts today. Again, are we more concerned with the sinner, or are we more concerned with the swine? Which one is more valuable to you? Eating bacon and ham every morning? Sausage? Or seeing a man's life change forever? Seeing his destination change from hell to heaven? Seeing his family put back together? Seeing him serving the local church, living for God, telling others about Jesus? Which one are you drawn to? Which one is this church drawn to? Are we concerned for the sinner today? Or are we more concerned with the swine? We're just afraid it might cost too much. It might cost us some extra time. It might cost us our favorite television program. It might cost us an outdoor activity. We've got to get back to where the rubber meets the road and find out what concerns us the most. I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus was concerned for the sinner. Concerned for the sinner. The whole town was concerned about the swine. He disrupted their life. He disturbed their living. Thank God he delivered the lost man from the demon.